Perspectives, a weekly public affairs show which airs every Saturday and Sunday right here on KTEP. Good afternoon. I'm Louis Sines, your host for Perspectives, and joining us today are Stephen Vogelweed and Dr. Rajkumar Lakshmanaswamy. Dr. Raj, and they are here to talk about an upcoming conference. It's called Biomed, and we're going to learn a little bit more about it. It's a collaboration with the Biomedical Institute of the Americas and also Texas Tech. Gentlemen, thank you very much for being with us here today.
Thank you for bringing me.
Now, first of all, let's start with you, Stephen. You are the Assistant Director of Business Development for the Biomedical Institute of the Americas. Tell us a little bit about this conference. Is this the first time something like this has happened, or what exactly brought this together?
So the BMI's mission is to work with our regional partners to build a culture of innovation specifically in healthcare. So, for example, the Medical Center of the Americas, their mission is to improve access to quality healthcare. And the BMIA is a subsidiary of the MCA that was formed to help work on that quality of healthcare issue. Because you would be hard-pressed to say right now that all healthcare is perfect. There's a lot of work that still needs to be done in cancer, in diabetes. And the BMIA wants to be able to create some of that innovation here in the region. And one of the ways that we seek to do that is through this conference, bringing together the region's clinicians and the region's researchers together to have a discussion about what it is that we can do to create technologies here.
Dr. Raj, tell me a little bit about, from your side as a medical doctor, and do you also teach at the School of Medicine? Okay, also as a professor. Tell us a little bit about what Stephen was talking about, because he's absolutely right. Yeah, I recently interviewed the author of the Cancer Chronicles, and he was talking about the facts that, you know, there have been many strides made, but there are still a lot of things that need to be worked on. And someone once told me from the Centers for Disease Control that the El Paso Juarez border region was almost like a lab for medical research.
Okay. All right. First thing to be clear on records, I'm a PhD. I'm not a medical doctor.
Okay. Thank you.
And the thing is, Stephen is completely right, you know, we are a unique population over here, being in the border between U.S. and Mexico. As we always say, diseases do not have borders. They can cross borders easily. And with the population that we have, not much has been done with this population. They are not only underrepresented, underserved, not much research has been done with the diseases that affect this population. So bringing in these people who are working in this area locally to find out who is doing what. You know, this is going to be really critical for us, this Biomed Symposium, because we will find out who we can collaborate with. And this is something which is really nice that MCA is doing this.
As far as you said, you know, not enough has been done for patients here. And a lot of that, you know, is sometimes education, patient education, and myths, cultural. Everybody has a different frame of reference, and there are so many myths about diabetes, cancer. You know, if you donate blood, you're going to gain weight. You can't do this, you can't do that. And also, we've made the list for a lot of good things, but also for a lot of bad things like diabetes, tuberculosis, obesity, and stuff like that. So, what is the key? Stephen, if you want to jump in on this as well, too, what is the key to educating the public, the patient, to go to the doctor? Because in some cultures, again, they won't go to the doctor until it's too late.
Which is so true with the Hispanic population as well. As you correctly put it, there is lots of myth and lots of cultural beliefs that they wait until the last minute, you know, even not even the 11th hour, the 12th hour to come and see a physician. So that's why many of the diseases that get diagnosed in the Hispanic population is at an advanced stage. You know, I'm a breast cancer researcher, so I'll just throw in a little bit of data. Usually, you know, on an average, when you take a look at the population, women, when they get diagnosed with breast cancer, it's less than 0.5 centimeters. The national data is that. But when you look at what's happening in El Paso and Hispanic population is, they get diagnosed when their tumors are at least 2 centimeters or more than that. So that gives you a clear indication that they are not looking out for preventive measures. That is something we need to educate them by outreach. You know, prevention is better than cure. So you need to take care of your health. So that's why going out to the community, telling them what is available, how we can help, and as everything is being put together, all that is related to the medical field over here through MCA and Texas Tech, I think we can reach out to people in the colonias, in the barrios and everything, and educate them to take care of themselves so that they can prevent diseases. And, you know, in the case of cancer, if you're going to diagnose a cancer early in stage, the chances of your survival is a lot better than being diagnosed at a very late stage.
A lot of times it's also, as you mentioned, cultural, but also a fear. No news is good news. So if I hadn't gone to the doctor, I wouldn't have found out and I wouldn't be worried. Or sometimes it's taboo to, you know, do self-examinations because you're not supposed to touch yourself, etc.
Which is so true. Talking about breast cancer again, there is this, I was looking at, you know, what's the beliefs over here in the border region and everything. So people feel that, women feel that, you know, if they touch their breast quite frequently, then there is a chance of developing cancer. So if you go see a doctor and if they're going to do a surgery or something, then the cancer is going to spread. So all these are myths which are prevalent here, even right now in the 21st century. So that's why, you know, going out to the community and educating them about, you know, there is a way to take care of yourself and lead a good quality life. And that is what we want to accomplish.
Stephen, as far as your audience and the people who will be attending this conference, so you said there will be researchers and also medical doctors. Is the general public going to be involved in this as well, or basically just researchers and medical professionals kind of exchanging ideas and trying to find out how they can reach people better?
The conference is absolutely open to the public, and I think that you lose a crucial perspective when you don't bring the patient perspective. And so I think it's important, and we're going through some pains to invite some people from the general public to be able to speak to that voice, because typically innovation in healthcare has been approached from the perspective of the doctors. You know, what makes this surgery quicker, faster, provides better outcomes, but doesn't take the patient into consideration in terms of how comfortable is this, how easy is it to take care of myself at home so that I don't have to come back into the hospital, things of this nature that have to be a component of innovating. And so I would absolutely encourage members of the general public to look at our conference and to consider coming.
One of the things that I guess some people think may have caused some problems, the fact that, you know, social media is reaching out to everybody, and Facebook, as we know, is the major way that young people communicate with each other. Or the good thing is that sometimes they do find out about news events through Facebook. But there are constant pop-ups and commercials about, you know, pharmaceuticals that are out there, and they'll say, you know, this will work. So the patient thinks, this is what I need. And they'll go and tell the doctor, this is what I want because I saw this in the magazine or whatever. And so there, some of them are starting to educate themselves, but others are just being influenced, like if they're just walking into a Walmart or another store and see a sale, so they'll buy it.
I think this is so this kind of goes back to the question before about culture in El Paso. They're educating the public in any setting is a complicated issue. And obviously we make a lot of strides at the high school and middle school level, emphasizing the sciences more. But I think what's missing and what we're working really hard to remedy here in our region is there isn't a whole lot of incentive to pursue a scientific field here. unless you're open to considering leaving the region because the jobs just aren't there. And when you have that kind of brain drain, you don't just lose that economic potential, but you also lose that at-home conversation. You lose your knowledge base that would help disseminate the right kind of information. And so, you know, this economic mission that we have of starting companies here and putting together ideas here has that kind of tangential purpose of helping keep that knowledge base here so that, you know, you may not be someone who even finished high school, but maybe your son did, and he is now someone who's staying in the region and who you can have a conversation with to better educate yourself about something like a medical issue.
And one of the things that, as you bring that up, whether they are physicians or other medical professionals, even medical assistants. My daughter is a medical assistant at a pediatric clinic in Colorado, and it's incredible how much she has learned. It's almost like she is an assistant nurse or a nurse because she has learned. But a lot of that she has done on her own, though. But it seems like in the past, all MAs did was just, you know, take vitals and that was it. And the salary, of course, kept everybody from staying here because, as you mentioned, there are a lot of doctors who are saying, well, you know, I put in a lot of money in my career, my school, and, you know, people don't realize how much time and money and effort doctors go through when they're going through a medical school. It's not just 4 years. It's a lot of years. And then by the time you get started, you owe so much money as far as loans and stuff. And so my point is with the Obamacare and some of the new insurance policies and stuff like that, is that going to drive some of our physicians away from here? Do you think that might happen, Dr. Raj?
Tell you the truth, I don't think that's going to happen. This is, again, my biased opinion. I think when physicians come into town, they see the potential for what they can accomplish over here. I don't think Obamacare will have any negative impact on medical practice and physicians over here in town. This is my personal opinion.
What about, as Stephen mentioned, some people would rather go out of town because even though we have some fine physicians here, we may not have the good equipment that Houston or Dallas or New York or the Mayo Clinic has. So people say, well, my doctor is very good. However, they don't have this kind of equipment here, and I'd rather go somewhere else.
Which is, you know, you're absolutely right, you know, with certain kind of high-end instrumentation, which we might be lacking over here. But our idea and plans are to build those things over here. So that is what we are, you know, marching towards, is to accomplish all of those things. So Houston started somewhere, sometime, right? And El Paso is just behind. But I think in a short period of time, we should be at par with several other big cities as such. So that is why these collaborations between the different institutions here within the region is really critical for us to move forward. Rather than working as independent silos, if the institutions can come together and put their expertise together, it's going to be a win-win situation.
I'm sure that the fact that we now have a medical school has added a lot of clout to the city.
Yes, it does. We have our own four-year medical school. We have our own nursing school as well. And so at Texas Tech, as far as research is concerned, that I need to mention that we have divvied up research into four different centers of excellences based on the needs of the community over here to address the needs of the community. A center of excellence in cancer research, center of excellence in diabetes obesity, a center of excellence in infectious diseases, and a center of excellence in neurosciences. So I think when we have brought in people, you know, experts from different parts of the country to come and work with us here in El Paso. And if these people will find out what the other institutions are doing, and if they can share some expertise, which is what is the theme for Biomed Symposium, you know, hosted by MCA, I think it's going to be a great thing for us.
You talked about brain drain, Stephen. So you, as Assistant Director of Business Development at Biomedical Institute of the Americas, do you take part in like recruiting companies to come here or getting grants and stuff like that to help further the research?
Absolutely. We've worked recently with UTEP on a grant to try to bring more advanced manufacturing to the region. The MCA was actually able to recently secure a grant for $1 million for the development of our research park that will be close to Texas Tech. So we're very aggressively pursuing federal money to help build what we're trying to build. One of the neat things that I've noticed just in the process of trying to recruit people here, and one of the reasons why I came back after a 10-year hiatus, is you'd be amazed by the infrastructure that's already in place in El Paso. And from what I've heard, and Raj can probably speak more to this, people are pretty impressed with the facilities that we have here. It helps them see that they could realize a lot of the research that they want to do here. They don't necessarily need to go to, you know, a Stanford or a Harvard to get the same kind of equipment. And in some cases, because it's a brand new school, it has nicer facilities than some of those others. And so I honestly think that our brain drain issue is gonna decrease more and more as we work together. That's a big part. I don't think we'll be able to create jobs through the creation of companies if we don't work together. And that's another exciting component that I think we have as a region that other regions don't. We are working together. I mean, universities are traditionally competitors. They're competing for federal money. They're competing for attention. Our region has three universities that have been working together for years now. Hospitals here, we're hoping to be able to bridge the gaps between them so that we have an easier time recruiting doctors. And in general, we've seen that some doctors are excited about the opportunities here as well. So I think we're already reversing the process.
As far as recruiting patients and getting patients to come see a doctor, I know that you mentioned the Colonias earlier, Dr. Raj, and the fact that there are, I'm sure, community volunteers who go out there and talk about healthcare. But some of them will say, well, you know, I just can't afford to go to the doctor. This is more important, or I can't afford to buy this medicine. I can't afford to do this. And because of the culture, we talked earlier about this, there are a lot of alternatives in folklore as far as self-remedies.
Yeah, that's one of the biggest problems in many of these border cities, not just only El Paso. You know, when there is such high levels of poverty, people don't have the affordability to go get the medicines that they need. Even before getting medicines, they don't have the money to go see a doctor, to go see a physician. So, and then that actually puts a lot of mental block in them. They tend to believe anything and everything that's going to be said by their neighbors, their friends, and their relatives. It's a major issue. That's why, you know, educating the community is one of the most important things that we need to accomplish as much as possible.
And that was Naomi Rojas, who was also with Biomed. Do you want to address that?
So participation in clinical trials has two great benefits. One is you're helping to bring to market the next groundbreaking treatment for a particular disease. The other benefit is that because it's at the research phase, companies tend to pick up the tab for the treatment, not just for those who are undergoing treatment under that particular new drug or device, but also for certain people who need to be considered as a comparison. And so the problem here in our region is that we're not on the radar of a lot of big clinical research organizations. And so we're going to be working together with our local institutions to try to attract more attention so that we can bring that research and conduct it here.
SEER, I'm sure you're familiar with SEER, and gosh, I can't remember what the acronym stands for, but they track cancer throughout the United States, and I think Kansas and Nebraska are the only ones that don't participate in that. However, they show the statistics of cancer and how, like, people in Hawaii are more prone to get liver cancer. And this is not, of course, part of the United States, but Japan, people there get stomach cancer. And the fact that we live here on the border, some people say, well, the reason that you know, diabetes is such a high incident here is the fact that people are obese and we eat very unhealthy, and people don't pay attention to labels, reading labels, recipes, and also it's hard to break habits. This is the way mom did it. This is the way grandma did it. And so that's very hard to do.
You know, when we talk about food over here, we have some really tasty food, okay? But if you see, most of them are deep fried. Okay, so when you're going to do that, it's not going to be good for your health. But when you're eating, you're looking more for your taste and not, you're not thinking about your health 10 years from now. Which, again, you know, it takes a discipline to keep a strict diet and follow that. And when you have this kind of, you know, really tasty food, it's quite difficult to follow that. And if they've grown up on this diet, and that is what they want to eat, it's not, you know, you can't change their habits that quickly. You know, if a person who has been eating something deep fried three times a day, if you ask them to go and eat salad even once a day, it's not going to be, you know, that, what to say?
Palatable to them.
Palatable, yeah. You know, if, you know, I'll have to take the blame myself. You know, if you give me a salad, I'm, you know, or if you give me a steak by the side, I'm going to go for the steak and not for the salad. So it's going to take time for people to realize, and, you know, we need to emphasize the importance of exercise, being healthy all the time, which is a very difficult thing because everyone's busy with their lifestyle, you know, morning to evening they work, they're tired after that, and to make them understand several different things which they've never done in their life, it's not going to be that easy. So, again, I'll come back to saying that educating the community in many different aspects is what we need to do.
Tell us a little bit, Stephen, if you can, if you don't mind, kind of breaking down what people can expect at the conference as far as presentations, lectures, or anything like that.
Sure. So there are a couple of great things that will be going on at this conference. First of all, we're going to have poster sessions. These poster sessions are an opportunity for different research labs to present what kind of research is taking place here from the different institutions. And this is critical so that NMSU can tell Texas Tech exactly what it is that they're working on and how they can work together to achieve something greater that they wouldn't have been able to achieve if they had worked separately. Another thing that we will be doing is we'll have speakers from Texas Tech, NMSU, and UTEP that will be highlighting the really exciting stuff that these universities want to broadcast. We'll have two really interesting speakers. The first is our morning speaker, Dr. John Onkar. He'll be speaking to evidence-based medicine. He's exactly the kind of physician that we want to inspire in El Paso. This is a guy who does research already on the side. He's actively working in the clinical setting to develop new techniques. So he'll be able to provide an example for our medical community of what it is that we really need here. Our other great speaker is Dr. Gregory Kovacs. He comes from Stanford University. He's a professor in electrical engineering and with a courtesy appointment in the Department of Medicine. And we're really excited to have this guy here. He's started multiple companies. He's worked with the federal government on several really exciting projects. And he's going to be able to speak to this crowd with regards to how to go about developing exciting new medical devices for the improvement of healthcare.
One of the things that you talked about breast cancer, Dr. Raj, and men, prostate cancer is a situation that, you know, they have to check. And a lot of people, and I'm not sure, I'm not a medical doctor, professional, but some people have said that at some point when they die, people, the men are going to die, and they won't die of the prostate cancer, but you can see that the prostate was starting to get that way. But regardless of that, they need to have themselves checked all the time. And men are probably the hardest people to get to a doctor.
You're absolutely right. Don't we all have our own opinions, and we know that we think that we know everything about everything. So this is interesting that you bring up this question, because there is a study that has been published. You know, when we take a look at prostate cancer incidence in Asia and compare it with Western countries seem to have a higher incidence of prostate cancer, whereas, you know, countries like Japan seems to have a very low incidence of prostate cancer. So this study actually reported that when they looked at the autopsy of these people after their death, there was equal incidence of prostate cancers. But only thing is, they did not present themselves clinically. They did not progress further in the Asian population, but whereas in the Western population, it had progressed further, which caused clinical problems. So they are trying to find out the reason why. Both of them had these latent cancers. In one situation, it progressed further to be a menace, but in the other one, it just stayed like that.
We haven't talked about, we did mention the date, October 26th, but we haven't talked about where it's going to be and what people need to do as far as registering and all that. So Stephen or Naomi?
So we have a website. You can find us online at mcabiomed.com. And it has all of our registration information. It has very detailed information about what will be taking place at the conference. I think that's probably the best way to register.
You mentioned that you can go on site by going to mcabiomed.com to find out more about it. Is there a date as far as when you want people to register by?
Today.
Because there's a cap today.
So October 18th is the end of early registration, and you'll be able to register afterwards, but the price will go up for registration after the 18th.
Thank you very much for being with us here today. We've been visiting with Stephen Vogelweid, and he is the Assistant Director of Business Development at Biomed Institute of the Americas. Also, Dr. Rash Kumar Lushmanaswamy. Dr. Raj, thank you very much. And again, Biomed will be on October 26th. The website is mcabiomed.com. Thank you very much for being with us here today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Perspectives is taped and produced at the KTV Studios, University of Texas at El Paso Communication Building. Our thanks to our engineer and producer, Dennis Wu. You've been tuned to Perspectives. I'm Louis Sines.